Gary Vasavi and his out-of-town checks with our theme, Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up right there. Means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Program number 541 in that continuing series. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany 105.5 HD2. 107.7 on your FM dial and streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. We're coming up on 13 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon. We have our guest in studios, and we're going to bring him in right now and say good morning to Mr. Mike Murphy. Mike, how are you doing?
Good. Good morning, Cy.
Very good. And Mike, you know, you and I go back a long ways. I think I first met you at Cathedral High School, and I think you were probably... Well, did you graduate in 69?
Yes.
So you're a year older than me, about. And we spent 2 years together in the band at Cathedral under the direction of Phil Welters, a great, great director, huh?
Great.
You bet.
Greatest teacher I ever had.
I think so, too. You bet. So for the sake of folks listening in, they don't know who Mike Murphy is. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning and ask you where you were born and raised.
Oh my gosh, that would be St. Cloud, Minnesota. I went to Holy Spirit grade school and then Cathedral High School. And I started playing saxophone when I found out, I was a clarinet player, but I found out my sophomore year that they only had two seniors playing alto in the accents. And they told me if I could learn to play saxophone in 6 weeks, I could play in the accents. And that was under the great Jack Fea.
Oh, yes, I remember Jack. Yeah, and was that the name of the Dixieland or the, what do they call it, was it like a stage band or something like that?
Well, it was a stage band, but stage bands were just coming into being. We played jobs. We played proms and homecomings.
Yes, I remember
that. And all that sort of thing, and I know we played more than 10 a year.
Yeah.
And we would go to all kinds of different schools. On one occasion, the principal had told the high school students in Maple Lake that they were getting the famous nationally known accents, who had a hit called Liar Liar, and the principal didn't like rock bands, so he brought in the Cathedral accents. And when we played, they started out throwing pennies and nickels at us till they found out we didn't know what transpired. But we had a lot of great jobs, and that was a great learning
opportunity. Awesome. That's awesome. Well, you are the son of Mike Sr., huh?
Yes.
And your mom's name?
Dolores.
Okay.
She was a low line, some say ley line.
Yeah.
And what we discovered, Cy, that you and I did not know, my mom grew up in a log cabin right near the Millstream Park. And it had green siding on it. And when I told you this story about how they didn't have any interior plumbing or anything, you told me that after they moved out of there, your family lived in that house.
I was about 2 years old when Dad and Mom began to rent from the nuns. That was owned by the nuns at that time. And I lived there. All of us, there's nine of us in our family. We lived there until about 1967. My sophomore year at Cathedral, we finally bought a house. They had thought that the freeway was going to take that. At that time, the freeway 94 was proposed to go through there. And so the sisters told us that we would have to find another place to live. And that's when we first got indoor plumbing. So it was pretty primitive, but the land was great. We used to run down by the creek and the swamps behind us there and fish and hunt, and it was just great. And your mom had a great experience living there too, huh?
Sure. Well, you know, she lost her father when she was only 3 or 4 years old.
Okay.
And the last child in her family was born after her father's death.
Oh, my.
And they were dirt poor, and they lived on that property. They had a garden. They even fished in the creek.
Yeah.
And everything. So our mom is now going to be 98 in May, and she's still living at home by herself.
Wow.
We visit her quite a bit and help out with things.
Sure.
But, I've heard all the stories about having to unthaw water in the morning for oatmeal and everything on the wood stove. And the wood stove must have been in there when you were there.
It was. It was. We had an oil burner for a heat in the living room. And I'll tell you, you could, on the cold winter mornings, you could have a glass of water upstairs, and it was ice. It was cold. But we want to touch on your dad just a bit, too. He was a famous person that people will recognize as well when you describe him.
Well, one thing just before that, I'll mention that our mom, some say Lowline, some say Leyline, was related to a lot of people around here. Schlamers.
Yep.
Duviers,
yep.
Stevies,
yep.
Lowlines. And our dad, yes, he and Kenny Borgert had a comic entertainment group called the Hillbillies.
Yeah.
And they put out, I'd say, 10 or 14 songs, the best known of which was the Eden Valley Fox Hunt.
Yeah.
And that was a story about how the folks in Eden Valley wanted to promote a little tourism.
Yeah.
And they thought that they would release foxes on the lake down there,
yep.
chase them with snowmobiles, and end up running them over and, you know, dispatching them.
Bogey wheels, all of that, the lyrics of the song, and people love it. It's still played today. I heard it on Saturday morning on the air here. So,
and the guy who was editor of the newspaper in Eden Valley, when our dad died in September 2005, wrote an editorial.
Really?
And concluded it with, "Rest in peace, Mike."
Oh, my goodness. Wow, what a neat story. So did you ever get to play along with those guys? Were you part of that at all, ever?
Not really me, but my brother Jim, who also played sax and clarinet, my dad liked to employ young labor. So if you ever listen to some of those records, like, you know, about the train coming around the bend, the person blowing the train horn would be my brother at age 6 or 8. Maybe younger, and they thought it was funny to have him do stuff like that.
Oh, I still remember your dad and Kenny Borgert being on Borgert's forklift in the 4th of July parade in St. Joe, going up and down the street, up and down, those guys, and they were so entertaining.
That was the Uncle Sam Band.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you went somewhere with my dad, you never knew what adventure was going to come out of it. So my dad wanted to ride. He had scleroderma in his old age, and he suffered with that, and he didn't drive. So he'd have me drive him places, and we were on our way to Gopher one day because he liked to scavenge Goodwills, Salvation Armies, all kinds of places for his hillbilly props and such. And a professor got on and said that the bombing of Hiroshima was an atrocity equal to Hitler's Holocaust of the Jews. That upset a lot of the World War II vets. My dad was out in the South Pacific, and they were told that they were going to invade the mainland Japan and that there would be over 1 million casualties.
Oh, my gosh.
And when they heard that the bomb was dropped, hallelujah, they thought this was their saving.
Yeah.
And so he was somewhat upset about that program. And he started saying, "It's time to get back to patriotism." By the time we got home, we planned who was going to be in the Uncle Sam Band and what the songs would be, and that Roscoe Sr. would arrange them, and who would be playing in the band.
Yeah.
And so the forklift was driven by Kevin Borgert.
Kenny's son.
Who was born on July 4th,
1950.
So he was Yankee Doodle.
Yeah.
And we played all the way through parades and went up and down on the forklift. And Kenny Borgert dressed up as Abraham Lincoln.
I remember.
And our dad dressed up as Uncle Sam.
Yep, I remember that. Oh, those were great days. So, well, we've just about half the show is gone already, and we haven't even gotten to your career. So, I left you in my junior year at Cathedral. And didn't get to see much of you for a while, but you went on to St. Cloud State then?
I did.
And studied music there as well, huh?
I did.
Yeah. And then, you became a lawyer, huh?
Yes, I ultimately, after graduating from St. Cloud State, I wound up, disco came in, and that greatly affected the prospects for horn players playing music.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot... I was lucky, you were lucky we got in on the last wave of a lot of live music.
Yeah.
And all-time bands were diminishing, and there weren't as many jobs to play. And so I went to law school.
Okay. And so where did that all take you? I mean, St. Cloud State, and then did you go on to another university or something? Or?
Well, I graduated from William Mitchell College of Law, and I came back to St. Cloud to practice law.
Okay.
And in between there, you know, I got a chance in high school already to substitute with a lot of old-time bands. And when I was about a junior, Ray Dronnell hired me to be a regular member of his band. You know, as I was telling you off the air, that Ray Dronnell's all-time album that we played on was a great hit. And
yeah,
I don't know if it was you or somebody told me that it sold over 500,000 in Europe and that Ray became quite wealthy. And I'm hoping Ray will call us when the royalty checks are ready.
There you go. Oh, yes. I'm sure Ray is probably listening in. And yes, great memories of the Ray Dronnell Band. I didn't play with you back then, but in the later years, we would wind up on the stage together. When I started with Ray, I started on trumpet. And then Ronnie Eichmeier was in the band, and Ray did take some three-piece jobs, and he had trouble getting a drummer. Miney Jensen had retired, and so Ron and I were dating at the time, dating our girlfriends, and so anytime he would play, well, then we'd have to find something else to do because I wasn't playing drums. So Ron said, why don't you learn to play drums? And then I did. And so then I became Ray's drummer for the last 35 years or whatever that Ray had the band going.
And I'd have to mention that, you know, being in high school, there's a big step going from your school bands to playing in bands that go and play dances and anniversaries and all kinds of things. And I'm eternally grateful to all of the people that helped us out when we were young players and didn't know much.
Yep.
And the patience of a lot of people, including Ray Dronnell.
Yep.
When he would hire us and we would get a chance to play with his bands, which we thought was like getting a chance to play with the Twins or something. Yeah. For a musician.
Yeah. You weren't just practicing in the back garage. It was organized. And kudos to those band leaders who would go out booking those jobs and providing us with employment. And in my case, it put our kids through Catholic education. I worked on as a meat cutter at a butcher and sausage maker. It wasn't a real high-paying a job, of course. So we made a lot of side money on the weekends. And in your case, I think you did the same, huh?
Absolutely. And we also became aware of our music. I mean, the rest of the world is trumpeting the origins of the blues and all kinds of other folk musics. But the old-time music is the music of European people. And I think it's great that that was preserved. And you've got that place where you sell all of the recordings at the Albany Steam Show.
Yep.
And you can go in there and find recordings and books that show what our cultural heritage is.
That's right. Well, Mike, if we can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment. We've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for the sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. We'll come back to you then, if that's all right. So, Cy here for the St. Joe Meat Market. Well, we are after the first of the year, pretty good means now already in the last week of February, and that means income tax time. Yes, folks mentioning that they have a refund coming and they want to invest it so they don't just blow it. Any ideas how the St. Joe Meat Market might help? You bet. The St. Joe Meat Market has halves and quarters of beef as well as whole and half hogs, all processed to your specifications. If you like your steaks cut thicker for on the grill, or the roast boneless rolled and tied up fancy like you might see in the supermarkets, the St. Joe Meat Market will do that. No extra charge for that extra service either. All processing always includes cutting, wrapping, trimming, grinding, freezing, tenderizing of steaks, steaks individually wrapped or paper in between, and or boneless cut steaks and roasts, all for the regular low processing price. Now, you might ask, what if it's just the wife and I, and you don't need a whole half or quarter? The St. Joe Meat Market sells half of halves of beef and beef and pork bundles, which amount to a portion of a quarter of beef or half hog, just right for that small freezer. Well, then it sounds like you need to call the St. Joe Meat Market. And you might also ask, how long does it take from the time you place your order? Most orders are usually processed and ready to go in about a week to 10 days or less. As always, for more information, look us up on the web at www.stjosephmeatmarket.com or call 320-363-4913 to make that tax refund work for you. And Mike, for being our guest on the program, and the first time you're here, so just explain how it works. The St. Joe Meat Market, Harvey and Carol out there, they have me put up a nice meat package. In this case, I brought it along, handed it off to you, and we hope that you and those around you enjoy it in good health. How's the prospects?
Oh, thanks a lot. That wasn't necessary, but I thank you. A lot of people think I'm already full of bologna.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, neat. Well, with the few minutes we've got left, we want to get along a little further. So you did have the opportunity to record with Ray. Is that the only opportunity recording, or did you do any other recording?
With old-time bands,
with old-time bands, that was it. Okay. All right. And some of the other bands that you played with, you mentioned River City Jazz Band. That would be Roger Klopocki's band.
Yes, he had several formats. I was the Dixie clarinet player in that after his first clarinet player moved to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. We also had the Sizzle and Swing big band. That was Rogers. I also played with Bobby Roberts. I enjoyed playing with his band. We had a small trio, a more classically oriented thing, called the Vienna Boys with Tom Paddock on tuba and Mel Hulk on a quarter vox, where we played some jobs at Michael's restaurant in St. Cloud. He liked Strauss waltzes and things and Austrian sorts of music.
Mm-hmm.
I played with the Jules Herman Band, which was the house band at the prom.
Down in Twin Cities.
Yeah, we had a lot of star known musicians there, and we did a lot of shows backing up celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 5 years in the Quite Light Opera. I played with the Dick Thomas Big Band. He was out of Clarissa, and he had a lot of local players like Glenn Flint and Mark Meyer and Wayne Uberto and Don Meyer and Walt Junkin. Just a lot of great people in that band. And I played in a bunch of rock bands, too, over time.
Oh, you did. Sax, or did you have another instrument? Did you play guitar or anything?
No, I played sax, clarinet, or flute.
Okay. Nice. That's very good. So you had the opportunity then playing with all these bands to get into some ballrooms over the years.
Oh, you know what? All of the old ballrooms around here that I know of, except Richmond, I think are gone. With Jules Herman, the people that owned the prom owned 7 ballrooms.
Wow.
And we played ballrooms all over southern Minnesota. That would include the Terp in Austin.
Okay.
We played the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa.
Yep.
That was the ballroom that Buddy Holly played his last job at before crashing.
Yep.
The Cato in Mankato. There were ballrooms in Bird Island, Renville, Owatonna. We played the Fairgrounds in St. Cloud. We played the Granite at times with other bands, old-time bands. We played New Munich, Cold Spring, Avon, the Granite City Coliseum, probably a whole other slew of them. We played in Alexandria, Pine City, Hutchinson. Yeah. We played Lake Marion.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, just a lot of different places.
Oh, neat. Yeah, those are all ballrooms that I recognize and was a part of, too, both with Ray's band, played with the Deutschmeisters, played with Bobby Roberts, Harlanders, got around to all of those. And that's not even mentioning the clubs. There are a lot of VFW, Legion, Elks clubs, played the Elks many times in St. Cloud. So, yeah, but those ballrooms were really special. was recently in the Richmond Coliseum, and they've really got that fixed up nice. But they're not having any public dances, only private. If you have a wedding or something, you can hire a band to bring it in. But it's nice to see that it's still existing. So you bet. Looking back, and we're just about out of time, any special memory that you want to share with the listeners, all your years of playing with the different bands? You got one that might stick out a little bit?
Oh, boy, I can see all the musicians I've played with over all the years smiling, wondering just what I might say.
Yeah.
There were just so many good times. And the great things about the ballrooms, unlike the rock era that came when only the kids were at the dances with loud music, the ballrooms featured the grandparents, the parents, the grandkids. They were family events.
Right.
And I think that that's kind of something we've lost, that community.
Yep.
And so people got to know each other, and they got to know their families, and you didn't just get to know Mary Jones, you got to know the whole family.
Right.
If you had a dance with her, you know.
Absolutely. You bet. Great times. We missed one segment there. I got to circle back. In high school, you had a part-time job. Worked at the bakery, huh?
I did. In addition to playing old-time bands, I worked at the bakery. And, you know, Cy, back in those days, we played till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
We might be in a snowstorm. We're loading equipment till 2. We have a flat tire on the way back. People don't remember. We didn't have radial tires and stuff back then. We had undependable tires. We'd get a flat tire. I'd be late for work at 5 a.m. at the bakery after a Friday night job because we'd get a flat tire. I typically did not get sleep on Friday nights.
Wow.
I'd be lucky if I did on Saturday because, once again, I would come home from a Saturday job and I'd probably go straight into the 5 o'clock job at the bakery cleaning up.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and so, but I guess you can burn the candle at both ends when you're young.
When you're young, you can do it.
And those were great jobs. And as you know, I got to know your in-laws and a lot of other people that you know that worked at the bakery.
Yeah, my brother-in-law, Dan Primus, all of his brothers, you said all five of them worked there at one time?
I worked with all five of them there, yes.
You did. Pretty neat. And, of course, got to know my wife's twin sister, who was married to Dan Primus, Janice. And you also said you know my older sister-in-law, Shirley, the Nystroms.
Yes, I met them all because sometimes, you know, we would go over to their house when Dan would pick up his girlfriend, wife-to-be.
Right, right. That's
and
right.
Saw that, yeah, I met both of them there.
Oh, neat. And before we let you go, just circling back to your career job that has paid all the bills, attorney at law. And just describe a little bit what you do or what you have done.
Well, I never claimed to be a general practice attorney because I did not handle divorce or family law. But I had a lot of different kinds of civil and criminal cases, did a lot of real estate. And I've been drawing wills all my life. And therefore, at this stage, I'm doing lots and lots of probates.
Okay. Okay. Good for you. And still working yet?
Still working. I'm probably not as slavish as I was a few years ago. You can help people doing things, and I also get, if I get a referral from a title company, it's going to be the Rubik's Cube of a title problem.
Okay.
And so, I mean, these are things that I've grown up in the business and learned to do. So it's interesting.
Well, and really, really neat. I mean, to have a career like that and then to crawl in a bandwagon like we did back in the days. And I used to sit in the front seat next to Ray and then would have Roger Van Heel on occasion. There's your county attorney sitting right next. So I was like the meat inside the sandwich there, little guy in the middle. But then you might have Roger Klophockey in the back seat, yourself. I think Ray always felt secure when he had all those legal people performing for him, huh?
Well, Ray made a lot of jokes. And, you know, the thing is, here's this huge guy, and he's got hands the size of catcher's mitts.
Yep.
And he's putting them on these little concertinas, and they're dancing around. And I would say that Ray's band is one of the bands that probably should have been known more prominently.
Yeah.
Because it was an excellent band. And the thing is, we met so many good people. Yeah. I never would have met Daryl Voorhees, for example, had I not met him in an old-time band.
Yep.
And a lot of other people, you know, the Myers from yep. Melrose, and Laverne. They all played sax.
Yep.
And
yep. Probably worked with Gary Zwack.
At times, he's conducted. We've had these big band jobs where we'd play for the Parents Association of Musicians over at places like Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, the St. Cloud Municipal Band is unheralded. It's done a lot of great stuff. It's a wellspring for a lot of musicians. I had the good fortune to work with Myrna Lindemann in organizing our 1999 St. Cloud Municipal Band trip to Beijing, China.
Okay.
And we played a formal diplomatic concert at the Beijing Theater, wow. celebrating 20 years of normal relations between the U.S. and China.
Wow.
And it was kind of a high note. It's kind of sad that things have not gone in a better direction with China in the last years here. But those were events that brought people together and created positive relations between peoples.
Yes, yes. And lastly, besides all of the other huge titles and acclimates and everything that you have, you are also current president of the Musicians Union in St. Cloud.
Yes, that's been a struggle to keep it going.
Yeah.
The one thing about the Musicians Union is that it promotes live music.
Yep.
It's been a difficult time in this era of streaming and using recordings to eliminate bands and using all kinds of, you know, mechanical instruments so that a one-man band can have a bass player and a drum and everything without hiring live music. Music is a great thing because it teaches all of these things that they claim sports teach, like discipline, showing up on time, respect for people. And it's got an aspect to it, a mental development, and encourages creativity. It's something that you can do all your life. There's going to be a day when hockey and football go by the wayside because you can't do them anymore.
Right.
And you can't take that physical punishment. But we can punish each other by playing out of tune in bands all of our lives.
You bet. And we've known musicians to get into their 80s and 90s and still perform at a high level.
Lloyd McNeil played with the St. Cloud Municipal Band and old-time bands like Ray Drano
yep.
for 73 years.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really neat.
And we knew all of the Dindorfs and Bachs. And when I got into the Municipal Band, it was like walking back into 1960 because I enter the band room and there are the parents that used to carpool us to band
yep.
at Cathedral when we were in grade school.
Yes, yes.
And so it was a tradition that's passed on. It's good for the community. The Municipal Band is going to have a concert this spring at the Paramount. And as always, we will be playing on Memorial Day for the Veterans Ceremony.
Nice.
And we'll be playing some summer concerts in Barden Park that are free, just like Memorial Day. And we'll be playing music, patriotic music and whatever, that you don't hear so much.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have a live music tradition. And so if we in the music union can somehow enhance that, we are not people that are arguing to increase our teaching salary or anything.
No.
We're just there to promote live music.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Mike, our time has run out, so we want to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us here today, coming all the way out to the studio in person. And like I tell every guest, if the good Lord is willing, you and I are here down the road sometime. We'll do this thing again. How's that?
Thank you so much, Si. Thank you. Have a great program. I like your station's mission of playing our music
right.
and keeping it going, and I look forward to seeing you.
All right. Very good. With that, we're going to let you run, And we didn't even mention that you have your nephew along in studio here, and his name is?
Connor Murphy. I've nice. Got two nephews. They're both in music. Aiden, the older nephew, played violin in the St. Cloud Tech Orchestra. And a year ago or so, Connor, who's now in seventh grade, began studying the clarinet, and he plays in his school band.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Keep up the good work, Mike, and have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Si.
You bet. And there he goes, Mike Murphy, our 541st guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by the Ray Dronnell Orchestra and part of the recordings that Mike was a part of. That's coming up in just moments. Zavian is out of town checks. Our theme wrapping up right there. Musicians Come and Play. Wrapping up our 541st edition of our Musicians Play. Mike Murphy, our guest, attorney at law from the St. Cloud area, but also had that same side hobby business of playing music like I did, and was a great musician and a great personality to have on the stage. Had some really great jobs together. Well, he recorded with the Ray Dronnell Orchestra, and I'm hoping to find a few of those selections to play in this next 20 minutes or so. Here's Ray with the Doghouse Polka. Thank you. Gronel Orchestra, their latest recording, Old Time All the Time. Mike Murphy on the sax, one of the saxes there, along with Roger Klopaki on the other sax and clarinet. Ray, of course, on concertina. Ross Scalise on trumpet, trombone, and keyboard. Daryl Voorhees, a trumpet player. Mel Mayer on drums, along with myself on drums. Joe Crookton on rhythm guitar. And Ron Eichmeyer on tuba. And some of the arrangements arranged for the band by Roger Van Heel. So, yeah, it was a really fun recording. Here's the Ray Dronel Orchestra with a nice waltz tune, When We Parted. Ronald Orchestra, a nice waltz tune there, one called When We Parted. Takes us 27 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon, and we are in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. That is always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota. And Jeannie texting in saying, hello from sunny Florida. Yes, Jeannie on a winter break right now, but we'll be, well, she's doing business as usual. Answering the phones and lining up folks for great tours for the spring and summer and fall. And so Jeannie goes on to say, here's some scoop for the show today. So if it's an adventure, excitement, fun, and entertainment that you are ready for, Jeannie B's Tours has it all planned for you. There are one-day getaways, minications for 2 to 3 days, and extended tours throughout the country, including Alaska, and destinations like Ireland, Germany, and Iceland. Just give Jeannie B's a call, 320-345-1581, to reserve a seat on a fun-filled spring tour like the Spring Branson Music Fest, which departs on April 23rd, or the Ark Encounter Experience, which departs on May 12th. Take advantage of the early bird special. You can save $25 per person if you call and reserve before March 1st. You just need to register for these two super tours. And when you call 320-345-1581, just tell Jeannie B's staff that you heard about it, the early bird special on Size Chasm Show here on Sundays. Now, daycations fun like Greece at the Chanhassen, Jasper's Musicals in Park Rapids, Tulip Time at the Minnesota Arboretum, or a Gull Lake boat cruise might be on your list. Deadwood Days to Medora Musical, exploring Door County, or the Mississippi River Cruise experience might be of interest to you. The Music City's tour to Branson, Memphis, and Nashville, or the Colors of the Smoky Mountains are filling now for fall. So don't wait if you're looking to have fun in 2025. Call 320-345-1581 to travel with Jeannie B's Tours. As Jeannie likes to say, seeing is believing. And that is information for you from Jeannie B's Tours. And like I always explain to you, kind of ramble through it pretty quick. But for more questions and answers, just give Jeannie B a call. Jeannie'd love to talk to you, and any of her staff, very knowledgeable. They'll help you out. You bet. And that's what it's all about. Jeannie B's Tours, proudly bringing us our musical treat for dancing feet here on KASM. And we've got time for just a couple more selections. Here's the Ray Dronnell Orchestra putting the trumpets to work here on one called Terry's Polka. Ray Dronnell Orchestra with one called Terry's Polka. 27 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. Probably an old-time solo here. Concertina solo coming your way next. It's one called The Swallow Waltz. Reed Ronald Orchestra with the Swallow Waltz, sometimes called La Golondrina. 25 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, and we have a temperature reading of 44 degrees here in central Minnesota. Old Time Polka Time coming your way. This is off of Ray's earlier recording, the Two Eddies Polka. Ronald Orchestra, a nice snappy number there, the Two Eddies Polka. And yes, it was always fun to play with Ray, but even more enjoyable music for folks to dance to, whether it was a shower dance, wedding dance, birthday dance, or whatever occasion, it was always fun. Well, time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. We're going to do that with one off of Ray's latest recording, Old Time All the Time. One called Greet the Folks at Home. Thank you. Orchestra. Nice song there. One called Greet the Folks at Home. Ray, of course, one of the truly, really enjoyable bands to listen to and dance to over the years. Yes, some great memories there of the Ray Dronel Orchestra. And of course, Mike Murphy on sax and clarinet on that recording.